Father, I pray that you will speak peace and calm into our lives. As we hear your voice, we'll find a way through the storms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to see you all this morning, as cold as what it was. Certainly growing up in country Western Australia, I never quite experienced cold mornings like I do here in Canberra. When I grew up in country WA, I spent a lot of time outdoors, be it hiking or fishing and even shooting. Yes, the sign of a misspent youth, I'm afraid. But looking back, my friends and I, we had developed a pattern that was shaped by character and by care. Because if we went out spotlighting for rabbits, Simon, my friend whose farm we would do this on, would show character and care by teaching us how to use firearms safely. Or if we went out boating, then we'd listen to Jason, who would help us to manage that little tinny with character and with care. All this worked because we trusted each other, that if we exercised and showed character and we cared for each other, everyone would get home safe and sound, much to our parents' relief. All this worked up until we went hiking with Matthew. Maddie loved hiking, but it wasn't until we got stuck in a gully halfway down the mountain with no sign of the track to get down and with no clear way forward that we learnt that Maddie knew nothing about reading maps and he showed very little care for his companions as to how we would get down. And so as I hear today's story of the disciples stuck in a storm, I'm reminded not simply of that afternoon on the hillside, but about character and care and calm. Because I think as we come into this period of thinking about our church, looking forward to our anniversary and the next 50 years of mission, being involved in God's mission, I think this lesson of calm is important for us as a community. So I just want to explore this story a little further. No doubt a lot of us have had that experience, you know, when it's getting on late in the afternoon and someone comes up with a really good idea, let's go over to the other side. And being filled with such enthusiasm, we all launch out on that good idea. Inland lakes have a habit of being treacherous places for sailors. You've got to be able to watch the wind on the water. You've got to pay attention to the clouds. You've got to be able to know where the hills are and the valleys so you can manage the wind. Which is why no one ever goes sailing at dusk. Being out on a lake at night is not a good idea. So I wonder if Matthew, the tax collector, being in that boat that night, felt a little anxious when the wind started to pick up. And I wonder whether Jude, the tradesman, began to worry as the water started to blow in the boat with the spray. I wonder how the fishermen, Peter, John, and James, felt when the waves started crashing into that boat. I wonder, did they look at each other and think, who let the carpenter decide that we should go boating? Like the disciples, we all face storms in life, and many of the storms we face just seem to blow in from nowhere. And very often, right when we are in the middle of doing something else, the storms that blow in make us feel powerless. Storms like whether it's an unwanted diagnosis, storms like being made unemployed. Storms like when our partner says, we've really got to talk. These storms can leave our bodies feeling bruised, our souls just feeling soaked, and our spirits just sinking beneath the waves. We all face storms, and it's not until we are in the middle of a very big pickle that we begin to understand something of character, our own character and the character of those around us. Are we surrounded by people who lend a hand? Or do we live with people who just have a knack for making things worse? So our gospel story is not so much about a storm, so much as it is about character. The character of Jesus and the character of the disciples who accompany him. We get an insight into Jesus' character, don't we? He is on the boat and he is sitting on a cushion in the middle of a storm, fast asleep. By contrast, the disciples, well, they are alarmed, to say the least. And let me tell you, if a fisherman is worried, you're in big trouble. So why do they respond so differently? Well, I think, is Jesus asleep because he's exhausted from preaching all day? I don't know. Or is it, as one commentator said, this is the untroubled serenity of divine omnipotence at work? I'm not so sure about that either. Or is Jesus causing the storm just so he can teach the disciples a lesson about his power and awesomeness? I'm not so sure about that either. I wonder if it's because Jesus ultimately has confidence in God and God's capacity to finish his mission, and that no gale or storm is going to stop him from reaching the other side. So I get why the disciples might say to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Is it nothing to you? Do you not care that we perish?" I get why they would say that. These are words born of fear, words that are born not just of a fright, but of a deep-seated worry that this is in a situation that they can't control and that this could well be curtains for them. Don't you care? This is a cry that's not mentioned by any other gospel writer. It's a plea. It's a plea not simply for action, but it can sound a bit like an accusation as well. Don't you care? Jesus, you seem so oddly complacent. You've been out doing these wonderful deeds of healing for complete strangers, and yet here we are in this boat filling up with water and you are asleep. Don't you care? It's a question of character. What's the character of Jesus like? If I'm honest, I can't tell you the number of times that I've said the same thing to God when I've found myself in trouble. Don't you care? Don't you care about me? Why can't you? Why won't you do something about it? And every time I say it, I wonder that I'm not wishing simply that Jesus would make all the chaos stop, but that Jesus would somehow make things the way they were before I found myself in trouble. That God could somehow rewind the tape back to when life was like before I found myself in the midst of the storm. And how often do we find ourselves wishing that God could take us back to the time before we had that diagnosis, or before we lost our job, or before we found ourselves divorced. It's so easy as Christians to think that because we know God, to expect that our life should somehow be easy and smooth and calm and safe. And so when things get rough and unsettled and difficult, we just leap to the conclusion that somehow God just doesn't care about us anymore, that he's left us. Or worse, that he's asleep in the back of the boat. So we get to see their character. We get to feel their fear. And we get to see something else be at work. Because the story doesn't end there. We hear of Jesus being aroused, of Jesus rebuking the wind, of Jesus speaking to the waves, "Be quiet." And what happens next is truly startling. The disciples wanted Jesus to do something, to be sure, but I'm not sure they really expected him to do what he did. Maybe they were hoping that he would just row with them or just bail the water, for goodness sakes. But here's how Eugene Peterson describes what happened. The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. I get how those disciples who were once so terrified of everything that was happening outside of the boat were now scared of the person who sat amongst them within the boat. Who is this? They ask themselves. It's a story that raises so many questions for us as individuals and as a church that is entering its 50th year of mission. As individuals, it's so easy to hear this story as a criticism, as though Jesus rebukes the disciples for having no faith at all, as though he just simply set the disciples up so he could slap them and then display his dominion and power over nature. But for us, I think fear is normal. Fear is a normal part of our life when we encounter storms. It's normal for us to focus our attention on the wind and the waves. And I dare say it's normal for us to feel guilty when we respond to storms with fear. But I don't think it's helpful to think that God somehow sends us storms, that these storms are God's creation for us, to teach us something in life. Because why? Jesus was asleep in the boat. He wasn't creating the storm at all. And to think that God causes storms that bring chaos and stress and distress to us is simply to misunderstand God's character. Because rather than create the storm, Jesus calms the storm. He is the one who brings order to chaos. He is the one who brings stillness when there is upheaval. So I don't think for a moment God sends storms into our lives, that things like cancer and unemployment and divorce are not sent by God to teach us things. What they are chaotic events that cause disruption and distress in our lives. But nevertheless, we can learn from God about being better. So I'm not sure when Jesus rebukes the disciples for a lack of faith, that it was their fear or lack of belief in God that he was telling them off about. Rather, I think it might have been that in a moment that was so overwhelming for them that the disciples lost sight of God's goodness. They gave into the false belief that God didn't care for them. And they believed that this storm would put an end to them and to God's mission. I think that was the lack of faith that Jesus worried about. I think the picture of faith that emerges is one where we should be brave enough to talk to God in the midst of the storm, to be brave enough to wait for that word that will bring peace and enable us to finish our journey well. Faith is about knowing God's character, that God is a God who cares for us deeply and always intends for us to reach the other side. But we only learn this when we go through storms. We only learn this when our journey gets interrupted in unexpected ways. I don't think God ever wanted Paul to experience everything he did, all the trouble, all the beatings, all the imprisonment that he suffered and that we heard about in our reading this morning. But Paul experienced these storms and he learned lessons from God so that he could be his best when he experienced the worst that life could throw at him. Paul learned how to be patient and kind by enduring troubles and fierce disagreement from opponents who wanted him dead. He learns about joy by enduring the violence. He learns how to open up his heart with love when he is imprisoned falsely and unjustly over and over again. Paul learns that a word of love can stop a hurricane of hate. Paul learns that a song of joy can still the waves of anxiety that crash upon him. He learns that the light of Christ can pierce the darkness of any prison cell. He learns this because goodness is the character of God. So what about us as a church? What can we learn from this story? It's no surprise for us that where we sit is called a nave, which in Latin is a word for ship. We sit in a ship, and over the last 50 years, as a ship, as a congregation, we have encountered our fair share of storms, haven't we? There have been ups and downs, and gales have blown in quite unexpectedly, but we travel with Christ. And as a little congregation, we have found our way across to the other side. As a church, we live in a world where many leaders will make us feel guilty. Guilty about the storms that surround us. There are many leaders who tell us to persevere and put on a brave face in the face of the winds of secularism. And they certainly misrepresent equality and diversity as dangerous waters for our church that seek to wreck the boat. But faith isn't indifferent. It's not impervious to storms. Faith is about getting into the boat, knowing that rough waters may be out there, but we go with someone who will help us reach the other side. Faith is about having confidence that God cares for us deeply, cares for everyone, whether they are Christian or not. Faith is about taking on the character of God so that we can speak the words of peace into any storm, that we can speak the words of love into any space filled with hate. That we can speak of the value of diversity and inclusion when others only want the world to reflect their own image. We can step out into the fiercest storm, knowing that the one who sits beside us will never leave us, for now or forever. That Christ goes with us, and because of that, He is greater than any storm. We can have confidence that Christ brings peace and joy and love wherever he goes, no matter how big the waves, no matter how strong the wind, no matter how dark the night. Amen.